Welcome to Spirit in the Morning on this Tuesday. My name is Gary Zimak. Great to have you with us. Let's kick things off with our opening prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for listening to Spirit in the Morning. I am Gary Zimak. Great to be with you. We have got a special show today. Coming up later in the hour, Dr. Gregory Popchak will be here to talk about his great book, The Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. Also, we will be joined in the studio in just a few minutes by Stephen and Michael Scavone, and they're going to talk about the group Aid for Friends. This is a group founded by Michael's wife, Rita, who recently has passed on, but they're going to talk about what they are doing. You really want to stick around for this because I think you're going to find this not only very inspirational, but maybe very helpful, and there is a way that you can help them with their mission as well. So we're going to talk to them shortly, but why don't we, first I want to say good morning to Dave Parker.
Good morning, Gary. Dave. How are you?
I am doing great. Ready to get started with this show.
Yes.
We're moving a little fast today, but I want to read the gospel before we talk to our guests.
Absolutely.
Today's gospel talk comes from John chapter 14, verses 27 through 31. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away, and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now, I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will no longer speak much with you. For the ruler of the world is coming. He has no power over me, but the world must know that I love the Father, and that I do just as the Father has commanded me." This is one of those powerful messages from the Lord. The one thing he is telling his disciples, he's leaving them peace. And this is so important. The Lord wants us to be at peace.
Absolutely. He does.
But there are a lot of things that happen in life that can take that peace away.
Mm-hmm.
The key for us is to keep that focus on the Lord and to emulate Jesus here. And Jesus is saying, and this is what his whole life was about, he was here to do the will of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the Lord will ask us to do things that are difficult.
Absolutely. It sounds so simple. I mean, and it was for Jesus. I mean, he knew his mission.
Right.
Didn't deviate.
Right.
And just carried on. But yeah, so often, you know, it's hard for us. I mean, we think we want to do the mission, but then things get in the way.
Exactly.
Life.
But the key is to keep our focus on the Lord and respond when he calls us to do something. So with that in mind, I'd like to introduce our special guest today. I'm joined in the studio, which is really great, guys. Thanks for coming in. Joined by Stephen and Michael Scavone from the group Aid for Friends. Guys, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks. Good to be here.
Yes, thanks really for having us.
It is so great. You found the studio okay, right?
Yes.
Now, Stephen, you come from my neck of the woods. We both live in Mount Laurel, New Jersey.
Mount Laurel, yes.
Not a lot of traffic this early in the morning, right?
No, good thing, yes.
That's why I like coming over to the studio. But we're here to talk today about Aid for Friends, which, Michael, this group was founded by your wife, Rita.
Yes, indeed.
Who has recently passed on, and by the way, very sorry to hear of your loss.
Thank you. It was a great loss.
She was a good lady, wasn't she? Mm.
More than that, she was a special lady.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very special
tell
lady.
Us a little bit about Aid for Friends and how your wife, Rita, heard this call from the Lord and responded, even though it wasn't easy for her.
Oh, it was very difficult. That's one of the reasons I wanted to speak. Everybody knows Rita as Miss Dynamic and Miss Personality. And God gave her all these gifts. I mean, he made her a very special, warm, loving, caring person. But he also, like he does with all of his favorite people, he gives them some difficulties to overcome.
Yeah.
And I'd like to talk about her difficulties because it would sort of increase the sense of her value.
Mm.
Rita was a manic depressive.
Wow.
And not just the manic depressive, but a rapid cycling manic depressive. Mm-hmm. And this is something most people don't realize. Mm-hmm. And the description of a manic depressive rapid cycler is that you can go from the top to the bottom and back again to the top many times, sometimes frequently in one day, more than once in one day.
Wow.
So that's tough to handle.
Oh, yeah.
And when she was high in the manic stage, she was just irrepressible. She was she was loving, caring. She had a outgoing personality. Mm-hmm. She knew how to find people who were in trouble. But that was one of the special antenna that God gave her. And let me see. I'm not too good at this.
You're doing great.
You're doing great.
You're doing great. You're doing She saw that there was a need. People were in need.
Yes.
And the Aid for Friends was founded way back in 1974. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's a long time.
Wow.
And she had no sooner started it that she would talk about it as her charity.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
It's amazing the growth. It spans into the whole 5-county area. And affects an awful lot of people.
And what exactly was her mission? What was the mission of Aid for Friends?
Her mission, very pure and simple, was to follow God's will and to care for his people.
Wow.
And she did it in her own unique style. I think she had a very special connection to God. And in spite of all the difficulties she had, she never complained about them.
Mm.
And she didn't say, why are you doing this? She says, what do you want me to do? And where do you want me to go? And I will do it.
Right. And just in case somebody who's listening is not familiar with Aid for Friends and the work that they do, this is basically a service of providing meals for people in need?
That's right. Absolutely. Maybe I can tell you a little story about Ruth and what she learned from Ruth.
Sure.
And this is a good insight into Rita. Rita went to visit Ruth, and when she was there, a community worker was there, a social worker. And she was trying to get information from Ruth, and so she'd ask question after question after question.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruth just exploded. She said, would you please stop this questions? I can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
And she really got excited and upset.
Huh.
So when the social worker left, Rita has this knack of just getting to what happened. She observes a situation, and then she acts on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she went to Ruth, and she said, how are you? What can I do? She introduced herself, and she said, you know, would you be interested in receiving our meals and a visit from someone? And Ruth said yes, but she was sort of cautious. And then she said, well, how much will the meals cost? And Rita said, well, absolutely nothing.
Mm.
And Ruth just broke down and cried. And Rita got the information that she wanted in a very gentle way. And when it was over, she went over and embraced Ruth and kissed her on the forehead. And that was Rita.
And that's such a powerful point. And we're going to be, we have about a minute left before our break. We're going to keep you guys on. We'll talk to you more on the other side. But this was more, Rita's mission was more than just providing meals for those in need.
Absolutely.
This was providing comfort and companionship, right? Reaching out to people who are in many ways cut off from the world.
Well, one thing that Rita really grasped and understood that whenever she did these to the least of his people,
yes,
she was doing it to Jesus.
Wow.
And that was paramount to her.
And her mission continues. You guys are still running. Aid for Friends is still up and running.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, we're serving about 1,600 people now
wow.
in the 5-county area.
Wow. And you're even over in New Jersey.
A little bit,
a little bit, and Our Lady of Good Counsel in Morristown. We have listeners in Morristown, too. So this is great. We're going to talk more about how our listeners can help. We want to hear more of your story when we come back from the break, and also how our listeners can help. You have a website, aidforfriends.org, where I suggest you take a look at the website and find out all the great work that they are doing. When we come back, more with Stephen and Michael Scavone. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for May 16th. Today we celebrate Saint Margaret of Cortona. Franciscans especially honor Margaret of Cortona on this day. While her early life sounds like a cable channel movie, her final years would make an appropriate religious documentary. Born in 1247 to a Tuscan farming family, Margaret grew into a rebellious teen. Unhappy at home, she ran off with a handsome young nobleman. During their 9 years together, she gave birth to a son. When her lover was murdered, Margaret began a new chapter in her life. Humbled and penitent, she returned home to ask her father's forgiveness, but he rejected his daughter and her child. Resolved to move on with her life, Margaret walked to Cortona, Italy, where the Franciscan friars received her and the young boy. Undertaking a life of public penance and service, Margaret spent the remainder of her life serving the sick and devoting herself to prayer. She joined the Third Order of St. Francis and founded a community of Franciscan sisters. Her son eventually became a friar. Margaret died in 1297 and was canonized in 1728. She is a patron of the homeless, of single mothers, and of midwives. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Really have to give.
and welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. And that was B1 by Natalie Grant. So joining us again, our special guests, this is Dave Parker, by the way, and Michael and Steve Scavone, and Frank. Look, Frank has joined us. Hi,
hey,
Frank.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well.
Dealing with computer stuff as we started off the show today. But you know, I was so thrilled to have 8 for Friends with us. You know, it's such an important part of our lives, my wife's lives, you know, over the years, and we've done a lot to it. But it's evolved a lot. And, you know, people think, you know, oh, you know, how difficult it is to deliver food to people. Why don't you tell us, where is 8 for Friends today? And what is that process to get food to these individuals really like?
Okay, well, there are really two main components to 8 for Friends. One is the creation of the meals, and the other is the distribution of the meals to the people in their homes. The easier part, believe it or not, is the creation of the meals. And what we do is we go to area churches and organizations and try to recruit people to be visitors, which is our greatest need always, and cooks. So right now we're supporting about 1,600 people. They get 7 free meals a week, some soups, and depending on what their freezer site is, some place people get breakfast bags also. Right now, we have about 230 freezer sites in the 5-county greater Philadelphia area.
Wow.
And we're distributing just under 300,000 meals, maybe about 50,000 soups and about 40,000 breakfast bags.
But that is incredible.
Yeah, it actually used to be a bit more. It wasn't that long ago we were serving about 2,300 people, maybe doing about 400,000 meals a year. And what really affected us is the closing consolidation of Catholic churches. Because it's really most of our volunteers, the vast majority of them, are people who go to church. And it turns out, we're not really sure why this is, but most of the visitors are Catholic. So, and that's really the limiting factor, the number of people you can get to distribute the meals.
And I would imagine the closed churches are in areas that sometimes are in need.
Yes. In fact, the program started in the Frankfurt section of Philadelphia. And we used to have like 4 churches right in that immediate area. Now we're down to 1.
Wow.
And there are some areas of Philadelphia we can't even reach because we can't get the volunteer support in that area.
And you know, I would also venture to guess that if people wanted to, they could volunteer for those other areas. It may take a little bit more work.
Right, yes. Oh, absolutely.
But there certainly is opportunity to do so.
Well, and for describe a typical volunteer. How many, what does that mean in terms of their dedication, their devotion by hours? I mean, do they come in? Is it like for 1 week or 1 day of a week that they volunteer?
Oh, no. The volunteer visitors are especially dedicated people. Because they will go visit someone once a week, and they'll do it for a year, sometimes 2 years. Some people have been doing it since the beginning. We have one guy who still comes there for 43 years. He's been visiting people.
Okay, wow. 43 years?
43 years, yes.
God bless him.
Jack Hohenstein, yes.
And oftentimes, don't they go to the same people, so they build relationships sometimes.
Yes, that's another good thing. See, it's not just the meals. Mm-hmm. It's the friendship. Mm-hmm. So they see the same person every week, and they develop a relationship with them. And now this person who had no friends in the world, suddenly they have at least one friend,
exactly.
Which is a very nice thing.
Well, a lot of the folks in need could be shut-ins, maybe have certain disabilities or challenges, and they can't get out. And yeah, they rely on that human contact.
Right, that's right. Absolutely. That's why the visitor's so important, because they are their link to the outside world.
Yeah. I'd like to inject something
please.
A minute. Since Rita's passing, I felt the need to actually become a visitor, and I've just become a visitor. And I was given my first client friend, and she's partially blind. And it's a great feeling. I felt that I would do this in memory and honor of Rita.
That is a beautiful thing. And, you know, I would imagine there's something that you actually walk away from having. You know, it's faith in action. And these are the things we try and profess. You know, it's not, you know, our faith is about getting out and doing things for those people in need, becoming their friend and listening to them.
You know, I was going to say, and there's nothing like helping by giving our time and talent and treasure, and how it makes us feel. It makes the other person feel very good and welcomed and human again. But what it does for us, I mean, it changes us as well as them.
Now, you know, as with this and with meals, I'm sure, you know, there's food regulations that also are play into things to some extent, but also people's needs for meals in different types. So can you talk a little bit about that? Like, you know, people have diabetic meals, or do you do things like that as well?
Right, yeah. So this program is really pretty much potluck. So
I love potluck.
Yeah.
Potluck is good.
It's the open
buffet. That's my wife. Yeah. Okay.
It's a big pot.
Yeah, it's a big pot, exactly. You have a lot of cooks. Okay. And that actually makes it better for people because they get a lot of variety. Mm-hmm. There's lots of different cooks. You know, you might make chicken differently than I make chicken. It's not like there are a lot of programs where basically they serve hospital food and it's the same chicken every day.
And, you know, that can get old fast.
Yeah,
right?
Well, we've had people. This is a long-term program. We serve people for as long as they need us. Mm. And some people have been on our program for more than 15 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you don't want to be eating hospital food for 15 years. So meals are a real blessing.
Oh, what a visual that was. I'm sorry. Sorry to the hospitals out there, but come on now. Anyways.
So, you know, with the, we've talked a little bit about the closures of, you know, the churches and how it's impacted volunteers. Mm-hmm. You know, what are the things that you really need to drive? So you need the volunteers to cook, you need the volunteers to deliver, but what are the other needs and how do you get those, like food, et cetera?
Right. Well, believe it or not, the volunteer cooks supply most of the food.
Wow.
Yes, and you know, for the individuals, there are some individuals who might like 100 meals a month, and they'll do that month after month, and that's their food for the most part. We have some food in our warehouse that the cooks come and get, but a lot of people do their own. But we also have cooking groups. There are large cooking groups, especially in Protestant churches and some Catholic churches. We've had cooking groups that have been with us for 40 years. Mm-hmm. Some of these places have been making 600, 700, 800. Some places make 1,000 meals a month.
Wow.
They've been doing that for years, and they buy all of that food themselves.
Wow. But what a great way to bond with other people and do it while doing some good. You know, sitting there, you know, putting your thoughts together and creating these meals, and then even as a group, potentially taking it to the people that need it.
Rita had a special talent for making things simple. And when she spoke at churches, she would say, look, it's easy to do. Is it? She's going to eat the same food that you eat. So when you make your meal, set aside the food for them before you eat. Mm-hmm. And we provide trays for them to do that. And that's the way it goes.
Well, there's a lot of fun things. Like, you know, for my wedding, we had a dinner beforehand, you know, and there was a lot of food left over, tons of food left over. And I remember my father walking with all this food, and it was piled over his head in these containers, which I think some of them did spill on him, but that's a whole other story. But what happened with it, it went to Aid for Friends. And so there's a lot of ways that you can do this. Before we head out to our break, one quick, you know, love to hear a little bit. Rita was on EWTN with Mother Angelica, wasn't she?
Yes. Way back in the beginning, I guess. We had started a little bit before Mother Angelica, and we listened to her all the time. And Rita wrote to him, said, yeah, can I come down and be on the program? And they said, yes. And they said, well, we'll fly you down. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, I can't do that. One of my phobias is I don't fly. And so she said, well, we'll put you on a train. And we went down, and Mother Angelica was dynamic at that time. When we were down there, right before she was interviewed, she came in and she just left the plane. She was somewhere else. And just seconds before, she came in and then did the interview.
Oh, that's incredible. She's, you know, one of the things I love about Mother Angelica was that faith in action piece. Oh, and this is exactly that. It is our faith in action. I want to thank you both for all that you do. It is really extraordinary. It is in Rita's memory. Rita was an incredible person and really delivered for the community, no pun intended. You know, and so I want to, God bless both of you, and thank you for that hard work.
And how would, if anyone's interested, how would they get in touch and find out more about Aid for Friends?
Sure, they can go to our website at www.aidforfriends.org, or they can call the office at 215-464-2224.
Okay, thank you very much, Stephen and Michael. All right, so we're about to go to break, folks. Just stay with us, and there'll be more on the other side. Thank you.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. The Trump administration has apparently chosen the wife of former House Speaker Newt Gingrich to be the next U.S. ambassador to the Vatican. Two people with direct knowledge of the discussion said President Trump will nominate Callista Gingrich for the post. The officials did speak on condition of anonymity. The decision comes ahead of Trump's first foreign trip, which includes a stop at the Vatican. Callista Gingrich is president of Gingrich Productions and has produced a number of documentaries, including one about Pope St. John Paul II. She's also served on the House Committee on Agriculture, where she worked as chief clerk until 2007. She was also a key figure in her husband's 2012 bid for the Republican nomination. The White House did not immediately respond to a request for comment. The Washington Post is reporting President Trump revealed highly classified information to senior Russian officials during an Oval Office meeting last week, putting a source of intelligence on the Islamic State at risk. The disclosure has drawn strong condemnation from Democrats and a rare rebuke of Trump from some Republican lawmakers as well. White House officials are denouncing the report. And the UN Security Council is strongly condemning North Korea's latest ballistic missile test and vowing to impose new sanctions in response to its, quote, flagrant and provocative defiance of Council demands to halt all nuclear-related tests. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
St. Bede the Venerable is having the second annual Padre Pio Festival on June 23rd, 24th, and 25th in Holland, Pennsylvania. Enjoy amusements for the kids, craft vendors, great food, a variety of entertainment, special masses with blessings and holy relics. On Sunday, June 25th, Mass will be celebrated with Father Thomas Betts, followed by a neighborhood street procession and a 3 p.m. healing service. Visit Padre Pio Festival, HollandPA.com to learn more.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. When Laura Story was caring for her husband Martin in the aftermath of his brain surgery, she had virtually no time to do anything else, including go to church. Well, as a result, the church came to her. During a Christopher Close-Up interview about her book, When God Doesn't Fix It, she told me, "We had people that did everything from bringing us meals to helping sit with Martin through the night so I could get some rest. And people would go to our home and literally clean our toilets." Laura concluded, "It was amazing to see the hands and feet of Jesus coming around and serving us. I think the lesson to be learned is that God never created us to live as Lone Ranger Christians. It's about experiencing the love of Christ through each other." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Falling behind, it's a crazy life. Come and rest at my feet and be, just be. Chaos calls, but all you really need is to just breathe.
And that was Breathe by Johnny Diaz. Sometimes we need to do that. We need to take a break and just breathe. Relax, because it's going to be okay. My name is Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Let's take a quick look at the weather for the greater Philadelphia area. Right now at the Philadelphia International Airport, the temperature is 52 degrees. Today is going to be sunny with a high near 81. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 63. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 91. At the moment in Kennett Square, it's 48 degrees. In Phoenixville, it's 45 degrees. And in Morristown, New Jersey, it is 51 degrees. Dr. Gregory Popchak has been joining us on the program to talk about his latest book from Ave Maria Press, a fantastic book. It's called The Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. And Dr. Greg is here with us today to continue the series. Today, we're going to look at the third Bedatitude. Blessed are the dads who are meek. They will inherit the land. Good morning, Greg. Hello, Greg. Are you there? Greg? I know he's there. We're going to try to find... I know he's there. I think it's just a little technical glitch we have going on here. Dr. Popchak, are you there? All right, we're working on getting him. We know he's there somewhere. Anyway, we're going to talk about the idea of meekness once we get Dr. Greg on the phone with us. Greg, are you there?
Hi, Gary, yes.
It's amazing how much better you sound when we push the right buttons.
You know, technology is great.
It's great, yeah. Oh, man. All right. Hey, we're talking about this book. I love the book. You know that, The Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. Today we're on the third Bedatitude. Blessed are the dads who are meek. They will inherit the land. Greg, I'm a man. Being meek, that's not what I'm supposed to do, is it?
Well, you know, I think that a lot of times people think that meekness is equivalent to weakness, and that's not really what it means at all. In fact, the word, the original word in scriptures for meekness is actually a word that was used to describe a well-trained war horse that responded to the commands of the warrior that was riding it. And, you know, when you look at it that way, You're looking at someone who's fearless, someone who is prepared for battle, someone who is intimately attuned to the needs of his rider. Right. And you know that's what we're supposed to be for God. You know, men who are prepared for battle, that can carry the word of God into the world, who can carry the Spirit of God into the world, and do God's bidding at a moment's notice. And so this whole chapter is really about how do we listen? How do we develop that ability to listen and respond? First to God, then to our wife, and then to our children. Because to be a leader of the house, we always talk about how men are supposed to be the spiritual leaders of the household and the heads of household. And you know, to be that leader, to be that head of household, means that we have to be able to listen and respond. Mm. That's the definition of leadership. You know, the ability to really know what my people need, and to be able to respond to those needs in effective and godly ways at a moment's notice, really, which requires that listening heart.
And let's talk about that for a minute. In your book, in each chapter, you break this down into your relationship with God, with your wife, and with your children. Let's talk about this, because we hear a lot about, I need to speak to God all the time. And we do. We try to pray, we speak, but we're not always so good at listening when it comes to the Lord. We tell him what we want, what we need, but do we really listen? How do you listen to God?
Well, I talk about some guidelines St. Ignatius of Loyola gives for listening to God. And there are really three ways he describes that God speaks to us. The first one is the best way. It's the way we all want. It's what he called total clarity.
Yeah.
It's sort of like that St. Paul moment where we get knocked off the horse, and all of a sudden we just know this is what God wants us to do, and if we just get out of his way, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful. It doesn't happen all the time.
And that's what I was going to ask you, Greg. Is that common?
No, okay. It tends to happen most in those times, in those moments in life where it's just critical that we get the right answer, you know, and we've prayed about it, we've given the situation to God, and this is one of those life-defining moments, and God wants to make sure that we head down the right path, and so, you know, he's going to make it very, very abundantly clear to us that this is what he wants us to do. But as you say, that doesn't happen very often.
Okay.
The second way that Ignatius says God speaks to us is what he called an attraction of the heart. And that's where we reflect on something. Usually that's a choice between two goods. You know, I could do this good thing or that good thing, and I'm not sure which good thing is better. And so we sort of take in information, and we pray about it, and we reflect on it. And both intellectually could be equally good, as it goes. But as we pray about it and reflect on it, our heart just is attracted to one more than the other. We may be hard-pressed to explain exactly why. We just know that it's the right answer. It's sort of like watching the dawn come up. We just see, that's the way to go, right?
Right.
And then finally, the third way that God speaks to us is a way that we discount a lot, actually, but we shouldn't. It's what Ignatius called the weight of reason.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us think that that's just us making a decision,
right?
You know, I just sort of gather information, I make the best call based on the information that's in front of me. But if I'm doing that in prayer, you know, I need to remember that God's given me my intellect, he's given me my will, he's given me my ability to discern. All those gifts come from him, and to the degree that I can choose anything good, it's because he's working in me. And so, you know, this idea of, well, is it God speaking or is it me speaking is sort of an irrelevant question. The real question is, you know, is what I want good? Is it leading me toward God? Is it pushing me to use my gifts and talents in ways that'll be a blessing to others? If it is, well, then it's from God, you know. As opposed to if I want something that's pulling me away from God or making it harder for me to be the person God wants me to be, well, that's not from God. And so I can know that God's speaking to me through the weight of reason and trust that because he gave me those gifts.
And you're right. That way often gets overlooked. We assume that, well, this is just me, but oftentimes it's not us. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Let's talk about my relationship with my wife. Now, Greg, I'm trying to do my job as a man. I'm a leader. I'm the leader. I'm the head of the household. I'm St. Right. Joseph at the Zimak household, and I've got to lead my family down the path that is best for them. But let me ask you a question. Is it my job to tell everyone, including my wife, what she and my family has a right to need or to want? Is that my job?
Absolutely it is, Gary. Yes, I'm glad you brought... No, I'm
thank you. Hey, my wife's listening, too. So, honey, did you hear that?
Nice knowing you, Gary.
What? What did he just say? No, 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 not at all. Right. That's where the listening piece comes in. You know, and it's, you know, that's, and by the way, the listening thing, that's different from... the joke that goes, you know, well, what's the secret to a happy marriage? You know, what are the two words that lead to a happy marriage? Yes, dear. That's not what we're talking about
right,
here.
I
hate that joke so much, I can't even tell you.
Yeah.
Because it's passive, and this kind of meekness that God's calling men to isn't passive. It's that active listening that I was saying at the beginning with the whole war horse metaphor. You know, to be able to hear what our spouse and ultimately our children need, and to be able to really process that and think through it and say, what's the most effective and godly way I can help this person I love get those needs met?
Mm.
It's that kind of active, discerning listening that allows us to really hear what's on our wife's heart, and really actively look into how can I help her be everything she says that God's calling her to be, and get those things that she wants or needs out of life.
I'm really glad you mentioned that, because that I tend to be an extreme person. So once I assume the leadership role, I usually just run with it. And sometimes I'm not aware of the needs of my wife, and I need to get better at that.
We all struggle with that.
Right?
You know, and I had a guy come up to me after a men's conference once and say, you know, how are we supposed to know, you know, what the right thing to do is for our family? You
right.
know, we're supposed to lead, but how do I know? And I, you know, the first step is, well, go ask your wife. You
wow.
know, go ask them.
Yeah.
You know, find out. But we're afraid to have them tell us, because then we might actually have to do it.
Oh,
you know,
exactly.
That's terrifying.
Exactly. But that's such a good point. Greg, we have about a minute left. I want to ask you briefly about my relationship with my children. Oftentimes we fall into one of two parenting traps. Either I'm going to be too authoritative or I'm going to be too permissive. How do I know where the balance is?
Well, it's authoritarian or permissive. The balance is actually authoritativeness, to be able to be confident.
Oh, okay.
In my leadership, to be confident in who I am. But still, again, I'm not going to tell my kids what they want and how I'm going to give it to them. I'm going to ask my kids what they need and help them figure out the most godly way to meet that need. And I go through several steps in the book on how to do that exactly. But it's not, you know, it's not just giving my kids whatever they want, but it's really having that same listening heart that allows me to attune to what they need and then work with them to find godly ways to meet those needs.
The book is The Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, from Ave Maria Press by Dr. Greg Popcheck. Greg, best place to get the book or to follow you online or to take advantage of your counseling services?
That's right, CatholicCounselors.com.
You're the man. Thanks for being with us. Look forward to the next segment, brother.
God bless, Gary. Thank you so much.
God bless you as well. Dr. Greg Popcheck talking about how to be an awesome dad. Man, I am loving this series. Isn't that great?
I am too.
He is the things he's talking about, they're pretty obvious, but we wouldn't think of them.
Mm-hmm.
How do I know how I best can lead my family, what their needs or their wants are?
Yes.
Ask them.
Mm-hmm.
How about
exactly.
that? And then
I was
listen.
I say that, but then oftentimes, that's not what I wanted to do, honey.
Well, like he said.
We have to be listening.
Right. But that's a great book. I strongly encourage you to pick up a copy of Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, from Ave Maria Press by Dr. Gregory Popcheck. You can find more about his work by going to spiritinthemorning.com, where we have a link to his website. When we come back, we're going to teach you how to be not afraid with the Be Not Afraid of Be Not Afraid Bible verse of the day. See you soon. Stay tuned.
This is why we stay.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Summers and Zims. Summers and Zims provides quality service in plumbing, heating, and air conditioning and refrigeration. They are proud to serve Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square. They also serve southern and eastern Lancaster County. Summers and Zims telephone number is 610-593-5129, and their website is sumzim.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit,
spirit,
spirit in the morning with Gary Simak.
I've been a sinner, I've been a saint, a little bit of both every single day. I've been lost, but somehow I've been found. There's been some pain, been some regret, been some more.
Never Been a Moment by Micah Tyler. I'm Gary Zimek. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. Time right now is 7:50. Before I do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse of the day, one programming note. Tomorrow morning, I'm headed out to San Diego, California, where I will be appearing on Catholic Answers Live. So tomorrow evening at 7 p.m., I will be live in the studio with the Catholic Answers Live in San Diego.
What a gig.
Yeah, and then
how do you get to go out there, buddy?
Hey, I don't know, brother. But so tomorrow we will have a show, but it will not be live in studio. We'll see what Frank Eliasson pulls out in terms of what we'll use for a program.
He's like a magician, folks.
So I'll be in San Diego tomorrow. I'll be speaking to a Legatus chapter out in San Diego as well. So if you get a chance, Catholic Answers Live tomorrow at 7 p.m. I'll be talking about my latest book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. With that in mind, let's look at the Be Not Afraid Bible verse of the day. It comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the gracious act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that for your sake he became poor, although he was rich, so that by his poverty you might become rich. I think a lot of times we forget the fact that Jesus cares so much about us, that he wants to share our lives. So whatever we're going through, whatever you're going through today, the Lord gets it. He lived the life that we live. He struggled. He had problems. He lived in poverty. He knew what it was like to be hungry. He knew what it was like to be persecuted. So if you're struggling today, know that Jesus understands and he wants to be by your side and he wants to comfort you. And our guests in the studio today, the Scavonis, they're here talking about aid for friends. You guys know what it's like. You know what it's like for people who are struggling, who don't have the companionship, who need these meals, and you're providing for them.
Yeah, you think about it, you know, these people have no one to talk to.
Yeah.
No family contact. Even some of them might have family around, but people just, you know, they break apart. And just imagine sitting home alone every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, sometimes for years. It's got to be pretty depressing.
And it's just so great to see how the Lord has blessed this ministry and how it's just expanding and you are just serving more and more people. And this couldn't have come about without God's providence.
No question about
it. Right? I mean, he's in charge of this thing.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, one thing Dad didn't mention, he neglected to mention, was that he drove Mom around for 30 years.
Wow.
For 30 years, she went to any church in the area that would have them. And we estimate conservatively that she recruited at least 20,000 people face-to-face over those 30 years. That's based on the size of our mailing list, which is only people who would volunteer. And
20,000.
Yeah, that's only giving her credit for half of the list.
Wow. You know, and one of the things is, you know, so I often go to St. Ignatius of Antioch, and they have a very big group of people that do this cooking event. How can we get more of these cooking, you know, groups to form?
Well, if people are looking for activities to do in their church, they could join us. So if they could call the Aid for Friends, 215-464-2224, or visit our website, www.aidforfriends.org, and say, hey, you know, we'd like to help. What can we do? We'd be glad to talk to you. We'd be even more glad to go out to your church and recruit volunteers. That's our specialty. We always relish that task.
And many of these churches, especially ones with schools, actually have the facilities there that can actually do large cooking and freezing and doing all these things. But even if you don't have that, you can do it at your house.
Right.
And so some people also do it not just at church, but they actually do it from their house and have a little cooking party to do it. And some do it on their own. They just add some, make a little bit extra food each night when they're making their family meal and freeze a little to then distribute, right?
Right, yes.
Well, there's another concept that people have is that's making breakfast bags. Oh. And it's simple to do, and a lot of schools do this. It was originally brought on by somebody's idea, and Rita grabbed it. She realized the power of it, and we get a lot of
breakfast bags from schools and the corporate groups too.
Nice.
Because it's a clean activity.
Right.
Yeah, so it's easy.
I just thought about that. Like, you know, in corporations, you do a lot of things like, you know, where groups of people, you know, as a team building exercise, cook or something like that.
Right.
Why not deliver it for something good?
Right.
You know, if you have a group like a Girl Scout group or a Boy Scout group or other, you know, grouping of people, you know, get together and just prepare these things.
CYO.
Yes, it's CYO, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's a great way to do a little event at your church or school very easily, or work. You know, we can actually bring together the secular world into this.
Right, that's right. And he kept saying this term, faith in action. Mm-hmm. Aid for Friends was actually founded on the basis of faith in action.
Right.
Her and my dad were part of Christian Family Movement, and that's what Christian Family Movement was all about, actualizing your faith by actually doing good things.
And this is a great example. If we say we love the Lord, but we're not willing to serve his people, then do we really love him, right? And this is how we show our love for the Lord, by helping out. Now, if you're listening to this and you feel that little nudge of the Holy Spirit saying, maybe I should get involved, I encourage you to visit aidforfriends.org. We'll have that linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Contact them and see what you can do, how you can help out.
Right, and the greatest need, like I said before, is always for visitors. We need people to bring the meals and to be friend to the friendless.
Right.
Well, and that's a great way to do it. Just a chance to meet new people, talk to them, make them feel good. You know, very easy. And then, you know, making the food. You know, I just got a text from my wife. My daughter's class actually made the breakfast bags.
Thank you, Carolyn. All right. Awesome.
You know, sometimes they put little notes on them that the people love, and they tap them up on the refrigerators. It's great. It's
made
really
with love.
Great.
Made with love.
But, you know, I've been a visitor myself.
Yeah.
My dad's a visitor now. And I hear this from visitors all the time.
Right.
They say they actually get more out of it than they think the people that they're visiting. Because it makes you feel good to, you know, be the caretaker, I guess.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a really nice thing. And, you know, you become an important person in their life. So then, at least with me, the people I visited were my cheerleader, you know. They really helped push me along. So it was really nice.
Well, guys, I appreciate you making the trip to the studio today. Keep up the great work. We'll keep you in our prayers. Let us know if there's anything we can do for you in the future. Aidforfriends.org is the place to go.
Yeah, wonderful organization.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you, guys. God bless you both. Let's close in prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we ask you to be with us today as we go out into the world. Help us to see your presence in everyone we meet today and in every situation. Help us to know what you would like us to do. Help us to be lights shining in the darkness. Help us to serve you in serving one another. And we ask for this through the intercession of your Blessed Mother, Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thanks again for tuning into the program. It was a great show today, Dave Parker.
What a beautiful show. And thank you to our special guests.
I mean, these guys inspire me.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, what a great story.
Absolutely.
What a great reminder for us all to serve those in need. We forget. Sometimes we get absorbed in our own problems. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we forget there are people that are really hurting out there.
Yes, yes. And we have our mission to evangelize, but we can also do more, us here at the station, and by helping these guys.
And that's right. And,
absolutely.
And so again, if you're feeling the call, if you're feeling that you should get involved, get involved. Aidforfriends.org is the place to go. Well, have a wonderful day. Remember, whatever you do today, wherever you go, you know who's with you. The Lord is with you. So turn around and say hi. We'll talk to you next time. God bless you.